Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. For every Starbucks in Texas, there are three payday or auto title loan stores, and that there are well over 200 payday lenders in San Antonio alone. But city officials are cracking down on these so-called payday lenders who loan money at high interest rates frequently to the low income. Criminal charges have been filed against seven local businesses. However, payday lenders across the state are continuing their squeeze, raising their fees, and making more money than ever. If you've got questions or comments, you want to talk about payday lenders, we want to hear from you. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980, and you can also email us at thesource@tpr.org. Joining us to talk about the situation with payday lenders in San Antonio and what the City Hall is trying to do about that, City Councilman Diego Bernal joins us, and he's been leading the fight to rein in the payday lenders. Also, we're joined by Don Baylor. He's a senior policy analyst with the Center for Public Policy Priorities, a left-leaning think tank in Austin, and they did a recent study showing that payday lenders are raising their fees across the state. Welcome to The Source, both of y'all.
Thank you very much.
So, Diego,
thank you.
Since y'all have filed these suits and y'all have shown that there is some teeth in this ordinance and y'all are going to use them, have you seen any changes in attitudes from the payday lenders who are refusing to comply with the law?
Well, it's pretty recent, so I don't know that we see a change in attitude. I know that some of the folks that we are prosecuting have tried to find a way out of the lawsuit, but we're not willing to negotiate that. You know, we say our ordinance is the ordinance, and you've got to follow it. Anything less than that is unacceptable. And since that's what they're asking for, we said, never mind, and we're going to continue with our prosecution.
What are these rules that you want them to follow that they're not following?
Well, you can kind of break it down into three categories. One is that we have a registry of payday lenders, so we know where they are and can do some sort of follow-up or check-in, and some of them have refused to register. So that's one piece. The second piece is that some of them are offering loans that on their face fly in the face or violate our ordinance. So we're saying, hey, you're offering loans that violate the ordinance. So that's the second part. And the third part of the ordinance says that if we do a spot check and we ask to see some of your records so you can verify that the loans that you've been awarding comply with the ordinance, if they refuse to show us those documents, that's a violation. And so that's the third part of the set of prosecutions.
So the rule that they're not following is in regards to lending out money, is that the rollover as many times as they can roll over a loan?
Right. So some of them, you know, you're supposed to be able to pay your loan off in four or five installments because we now require, well, one, we require that the loan is tied to your income, but another piece of it is that at a certain point, you've got to pay 25% of the principal as opposed to just paying fees and interest and never getting to the principal. We force the payment of the principal to happen over four payments, and therefore, you know, when you get the loan, you can already see the light at the end of the tunnel. Some of the folks have refused to do that, and that's why they're being prosecuted.
Don Baylor, senior policy analyst at the Center for Public Policy Priorities, y'all recently released a report looking at payday lenders in Texas. What did y'all find?
So we have really the first opportunity to compare year over year in terms of what we're seeing in terms of trends statewide as well as locally. And so what we found, I think, was a couple of interesting things. One is, we have found that the number of rollovers has gone down pretty substantially by about, you know, 15 to 20%. What we're finding, however, is that many payday lenders are shifting towards what are called installment payday products, which are kind of set up to have multiple payments, and that these products are getting much longer. So we're seeing the average installment payday product go from about 100 days to about 150 days. And so we're seeing that the indebtedness is much, much longer. And so even though overall in Texas in 2013, Texans took out slightly fewer loans than they did in 2012, the amount in fees that were paid actually increased by about 12% to $1.4 billion statewide in Texas.
So the payday, what are these fees? How are they coming up with new fees or higher fees?
Well, in Texas, really the fees, make up the bulk of what the consumer pays. The way that it's structured in Texas is there is a credit access business fee that is charged as a portion of whatever the principal is. So the actual interest, quote-unquote, on these loans is actually fairly small. It's under 10% annual interest. And so really where they make the money is really on their fees. And so you'll find that many Texans who take out an installment product, if they take out a $500 loan, on average they're going to pay about $1,000 in fees over a period of about 5 months to actually retire that loan. And that's without rolling that particular or refinancing that particular product over at all.
Do the consumers know about these fees going into this? Do they know that they're going to pay $1,000 to retire a $500 loan?
Well, it's interesting because one of the big criticisms about the single payment payday product was that it is deceptive, right? Many people go in thinking that it's a 2 or 3 week loan, and they end up rolling that loan over 4, 6, 8 times and end up paying potentially $1,000 to borrow $500. The tricky part about the installment is that all of these fees are disclosed up front. And so, like we said, without the borrower refinancing or rolling over that loan at all, that is what they're scheduled to pay over a period of 4 to 5 months. And so all of that stuff is disclosed up front in terms of, you know, how much they're going to be paying over a period of time. But the reality is that in many ways the borrower is probably a little bit worse off in the installment product because there's no potential way really for them to pay off that loan early and avoid those fees.
So Diego Bernal, over at City Hall, it seems kind of like you guys are taking on this outfit that they're slippier than whale snot. They just, you know, you can't nail them down. How does it seem like they always have a trick up their sleeve? I mean, is the city really equipped to take these guys on?
Well, I think the city is doing the best that it can. I would argue that a statewide solution is a better solution, but being that that's been rather difficult, we have to do as much as we can. Is it a perfect solution? No. Am I confident that we're getting results here? I am. Are they the best results? Probably not. Are they the best results that we can get? I think so. You know, what I always argue about this, you make a good point about the industry. What's interesting about this industry is that this is one industry that is so powerful in Austin. However, there's no built-in constituency that supports them. You can take two other fairly controversial issues. Let's say gun rights and abortion. And on both of those issues, there are constituencies on either side. Some are pro-life, some are pro-choice, some are pro-Second Amendment, and some are for tighter controls. In this instance, you've got a state government that is so beholden to this group, and yet they have no constituency. There are no people on the ground that say, we support payday loans, we support payday lenders, you know, we think that we have a right to these kinds of loan products. It doesn't exist. You're in this.
Well, it seems to be the people that run the shops, the owners. I mean, they're making out like, I don't want to say bandits to put a negative pejorative on it, but
you're free to do that. I'd be okay with that. I think that that's right.
All right, we're going to take a break. But if you have listeners, if you've had an experience with payday loans, you want to call in, talk about that experience, we want to hear from you. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. There are about 3,500 storefront payday lenders in Texas. That is more than all of the Starbucks, all of the Whataburgers, and all of the McDonald's combined. An astounding fact. There's only one reason why there's so many of these stores existing in Texas is because they're making money. With me to talk about the situation with payday lenders in Texas, we're joined by San Antonio City Councilman Diego Bernal. He's leading the fight to rein in payday lenders here in San Antonio. He's been seen as a leader across the state. And we're joined by Don Baylor. He's a senior policy analyst with the Center for Public Policy Priorities, a left-leaning think tank in Austin. They've been looking at the insides of these payday lenders and looking at how they do business. So, Don, let me ask you, they're providing a service. If they weren't providing a service, people wouldn't be using them, right?
Yeah, I don't think that we're questioning the existence of a small dollar or short-term credit. I think what we're really kind of questioning and what we're actually pushing for is actually a product that does not cause, you know, unnecessary financial damage. And really the reason why San Antonio and about 16 other cities have taken action is that Texas really stands alone in terms of having no limits on the fees, no limits on the refinances, and really no limits on the size of the loan, and no standard underwriting procedures. So we really don't have any consumer protections for folks that take out these products, and so it's really not a matter of whether or not these products should exist, but what should they look like in our state.
So other states have managed to allow payday lenders to continue to exist. However, they've reined them in, and so they're not so predatory?
So, yeah, well, so for example, in a state like Oklahoma, just right across the border from us, they have a limit of $15 fee per $100 that's borrowed. In Texas, we have, in Florida, it's $10 per $100 that's borrowed. And the same companies that operate in Texas operate in those states and other states that have limitations. Texas, we have no limits on the fees that are charged, and therefore we have some of the highest fees in the country. So it's really not a matter of should they exist or should they not exist. It's a matter of are there going to be any consumer protections for the highest cost products on the market.
All right, let's go to the phones, and our phone lines are open if you want to call in. The number is 210-614-8980. Jay has called in. Jay, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I unfortunately took out a lot of payday loans, and I ended up having to walk away from them. And the problem that I had is that I was trying to pay off another and do the right thing, and so I would take out a secondary payday loan. Anyway, I got up to about 8, and I think possibly a part of the solution might be to create a database to where they can't, one payday lender can't lend if another payday lender has already lent, so that you don't go from payday loan place to payday loan place, trying to do the right thing, trying to keep up and getting yourself farther and farther in debt, and, you know, by going to different payday loan people.
So you said you walked away from it. Does that mean you just, you've gone underground?
That's a good point. Yeah, but, you know, in the end, they call you and they settle and you do what you can. You pay one off at a time, and it's the only way to get out of it.
How did you get roped into that in the first place?
All my hours at work dropped drastically from, like, 55 hours down to below 40, and then cars started breaking down. And, I mean, I was just always trying to, do the right thing and pay my bills.
Right,
you know, and then I just got in over my head. I mean, it's all my own fault. I don't doubt that. I'm not real good with money, obviously. But mostly I was just trying to do the right thing all the time and pay people off, and I just couldn't keep up.
Jay, thank you for your phone call. We appreciate your story. So Diego Bernal, we've heard the executive payday lender here in Texas saying that the people take out these loans to buy big screen TVs and to live the good life.
Yeah, that's sort of an insult to these folks. I think that what's important to remember is that the business model is predicated on desperation. If between you and your friends and your family you can't come up with $500, you're desperate. And so these people will dangle that money in front of folks saying, yeah, we'll help you, but they'll then get them on the hook for a cycle of debt that can go on for years. I also think it's important to point out that I read in the news last year that it might be 6 or 7 out of 10 Americans are not in a financial position to handle a $500 emergency. That's who take out these loans. These are people who their kid gets sick, their car breaks down, their washer and dryer break, there's an extremely hot or cold season and they've got to pay the utility bills. These loans are taken out by people across the city, every walk of life. It's not people living the good life. It's not people who just have some sort of alcohol or drug abuse problem. It is everybody in our community.
So Jay had a really interesting take on that about if you take out one payday loan to try to pay off another payday loan, and that doesn't seem to work out. But he said if you had a database, maybe you could prevent that from happening.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an interesting idea. The best that we can do here is to make sure that the payday loans are tied to the income of folks and they have a way to pay it out. I think there's an attempt to try to track it, but it's very, very difficult.
All right, back to the phone lines. Ernie has called in. Let's get Ernie on the air. Hey, Ernie, you're live on the air. Go ahead.
I just want to make a quick comment. I recently called several of these payday loan establishments, and none of them would disclose their fees over the phone. Mm-hmm. They said I had to come in, totally fill out the paperwork for the amount of money I wanted, and then they would tell me how much it costs. So you can't really shop around or anything.
Why were you calling them?
Because I needed some money, but I decided not to.
All right.
I just tightened the belt a little.
All right, I think you're probably you're wiser, you're better off for that, Ernie. Thanks for calling, appreciate that. So, Don, this disclosure, you know, they don't post their rates, not online, not over the phone?
Yeah, so really back to that previous caller, other states, about a dozen other states actually have these databases, which actually are a form of consumer protection to really prevent people from taking on too many loans, too much debt at the same time. This recent caller, this is one of my pet peeve issues. One of the things that you see in this industry that is different from many other industries is the lack of true price competition. So even though we have more payday lenders that you can shake a stick at, the volume or quantity of these does not mean that the prices go down. And one of the other issues I think that the caller hit right on the head is that you can't drive by just like you're driving by a gas station and know what the price of the product is. You have to go inside, commit to the product, and then you're already on the hook. And so this ability to be able to shop around really is the lack of that ability really, really hurts the consumer because prices continue to stay elevated in Texas.
Well, I see a drive past Balcones Heights, and that place is full of payday loans because lenders, because they don't have to deal with the San Antonio ordinances. And they've got signs up that say like $50 if you walk in and ask about getting a payday loan. So they're pretty aggressive trying to get folks inside, Diego.
They are. I mean, one of the problems that we have in our city is that we have all these smaller municipalities nearby. I mean, we have to get everybody on board to play by the same rules. I've heard stories of payday lenders in San Antonio saying, well, if you just go to this other place, you can get a better deal, or we'll only accept your payment there. They shift it around. Like I said, I want to be very clear that we're doing as much as we can, but I by no means am saying we've done all that there is to do. There's a larger movement that has to happen, and there's a larger conversation that has to happen in Austin. We're just doing all that we can locally with the tools that we've got.
Okay, another caller to get on the air, Andrew. Andrew, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, hi, David. I'm a member of the National Guard, and I got a title loan on my vehicle last year, and I think it was illegal for lenders to give out loans to military personnel.
Okay. Thanks, Andrew. We'll check into that. Don, is that true? Is it illegal to give a loan to someone in the military?
No, it's not illegal. This is an issue, once again, of moving the goalposts on the part of the industry. So, yes, there was a federal law that was passed in 2006 that says that payday loans should be to the active duty military should be limited to no more than 36% annual percentage rate. Now, there's one small but to that. It has to be a loan that is 91 days or less. And so what we've seen with the military is making these longer loans that are longer than 91 days, and therefore they fall outside of the federal protections.
Yeah, but he brings up an interesting point about the targeting of veterans or people who are actually active duty military personnel. So, Don, are they being targeted?
Well, I think that anyone that has ever driven outside the gates of a military installation here in Texas, whether or not it's Fort Hood or other places around the state, you definitely see that. They're going to be in places where people have steady paychecks and relatively low incomes and lack of financial education. And so to some degree that, unfortunately that does mean a good chunk of our active duty military. And then you add veterans and others that are not protected by those same protections, and then you have a bigger population that is exposed to this.
And Councilman Bernal, the payday lenders have already lost the lawsuit challenging this ordinance, so this is you guys feel like you're standing on solid ground. You're going to make some changes.
That's right. I think we are on solid legal ground. We wouldn't proceed if we didn't feel that way.
And this is also about sending a message saying that we're committed to seeing this all the way through, that it's not just symbolic, but that we are trying to produce results. You know, they can I feel like I've seen every trick they can throw my way, but the city is very resolute in its course of action.
And still trying to take it to the legislature? You think they'll ever make some changes there?
We have to. We have to. Unless the federal government does something that covers the entire country, Austin is the place. That is the staging area where real statewide reform has to happen. I think that my fear is that we may be able to get reform in Austin that isn't as strong as it is in San Antonio. So that's one thing we have to sort out.
All right. City Councilman Diego Bernal leading the fight to rein in payday lenders in San Antonio, also joined by Don Baylor, senior policy analyst with the Center for Public Policy Priorities, looking at payday lenders across the state of Texas. Thank you for joining us, getting us up to date at payday lenders. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.